Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. 2 Kings, chapter 5. And before we read God's word, let's once again go to him in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray this morning that as we hear your word, that your spirit would give us ears to hear. We pray that as we hear your word, that you would cut us straight to the heart, so that we might know your grace more fully, so that we might see our sin more clearly, and so that we might desire to follow you more faithfully. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. 2 Kings, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord. Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We are continuing today our study of the Acts of the Apostle. This book in the Bible is the story of the work of God, specifically the work of God, the Holy Spirit, continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ through the church. Well, last week we finished chapter 2 of Acts, and we read this in verse 43. This was from last week's reading, but listen. Acts 2:43 says this, "And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." Well, the apostles, those who were called by Jesus to lead the early church, to be his witnesses, to point to him in word and deed, were doing signs and wonders. In other words, miracles. The Spirit of God was working miracles through the apostles. And these signs and wonders served a twofold purpose. First of all, they showed forth the power of God, the majesty of God. And secondly, the miracles served to validate the calling of the apostles, to validate their ministry as apostles. Well, our passage today in chapter 3 narrates one of those signs and wonders. Now, there are 14 miracles in the book of Acts, 14. And this is the first. So let's look at the first 10 verses of Acts 3. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Peter and John, two fishermen, two of the original disciples of Jesus, now apostles of Jesus, were going up to the temple. Now, in Jerusalem, the temple was on higher ground, elevated, so no matter where you were at in Jerusalem, you had to go up to the temple. So Peter and John were going up to the temple, and they were going to pray. We're told it was the ninth hour. That's 3 p.m. The ninth hour was the time of the afternoon offering. It was a burnt offering, a sacrifice of worship to the Lord. The ninth hour was also one of two key prayer times in the temple. The other was in the morning at 9 a.m. At these 2 hours, 9 a.m. and 3 p.m., God's people gathered in the temple, and they gathered in the temple to pray. Well, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray because they were still Jews. At this point, all of the early Christians, all of the followers of Jesus, over 3,000 of them, were still Jews. At this point, there was no break between Christianity and Judaism, no separation between Christianity and Judaism. Followers of Jesus were still faithful Jews. Followers of Jesus still participated in temple worship. So Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, and they were going to pray. Well, our passage relates that another man was also going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. But he wasn't walking up to the temple. He was being carried up to the temple. He was being carried up to the temple because he was lame. He couldn't walk. In fact, he had never walked, not a day in his life and not a step in his life. Whatever his condition was, we're told that he had had it since birth, over 40 years. So every day he was carried up to the temple. He was carried up at one of the hours of prayer, but he was carried up not to pray. He was carried up to the temple so that he might beg, ask for alms. He was placed at one of the entrances of the temple, one of the temple gates. And this particular gate was called Beautiful. Now, the Beautiful Gate was probably the gate that was on the east side of the temple. It was also called the Corinthian Gate or the Nicanor Gate. And it was a beautiful gate. It was the largest gate of the temple, 75 feet tall, 7 stories tall. It was the only gate of the temple that was made entirely of bronze, and it was beautifully decorated, beautifully adorned. And this was the most popular entrance to the temple. So at this gate, at the hour of prayer, hundreds of people would pass by the gate. Hundreds of people would pass through the gate. Hundreds of people would pass by this lame man who was begging for alms. So not quite the same scale, but it would be similar to if somebody was sitting outside the main doors of our sanctuary about 10:15 as you walked in to
worship.
Or it'd be like somebody holding up a sign on the County Line Road exit off 55 Friday evening when lots of traffic is heading north. Well, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray, and on this day, they entered the temple through the beautiful gate. And as they entered the temple through the beautiful gate, they walked by this lame man. And just like everybody else who walked by the lame man, he asked Peter and John for alms. Now, when you're going somewhere and you see somebody sitting on the street or standing at a corner holding up a sign, and you know that they're asking for money, that they want money, and you can't give or you don't want to give at that particular moment, well, what do you do? What do you do? Well, I'll tell you what I do. Don't make eye contact, right? I mean, you don't look at them. You don't engage, and that's a clear indicator that you're not going to give, that you're not going to stop. Well, this lame man who was sitting at the temple gate day after day after day, he was surely accustomed to people not looking at him, just looking straight ahead and moving on. But that's not what Peter and John did. Listen to verse 4 again. This is verse 4. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John. The Greek word translated directed his gaze, it's one word, it means to stare, it means to look intently. Peter and John are not moving on. Peter and John engage this lame man with their eyes. Then Peter engages this lame man verbally. He says, look at us. Look at us. So now the lame man stops looking at other potential alms givers who are walking by. And he looks directly at Peter and John, and we're told that he is expecting to receive something from them. Well, since they engaged him with their eyes, since they engaged him with their mouths, he is certain that these guys are going to give him some money. Maybe they're going to give him a large sum of money since they're actually talking to him and not just walking by. And then Peter speaks these words. Listen to verse 6 again. This is verse 6. I have not silver and gold. And Peter and John don't have money. They don't have silver. They don't have gold. Now imagine being the lame beggar. Imagine his immediate reaction when he heard these words. He was expecting something. He was hoping for something. And then all of a sudden they say they have nothing to give. Well, he probably began turning his eyes away from them, trying to engage somebody who maybe had something to give. But Peter finishes with these astonishing words. Peter says, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Peter doesn't have silver and gold, but he has something even better. He has something more valuable. He has healing for this man. Healing in the name of Jesus. Healing through the power of Jesus. And he tells this lame man, lame from birth, who never walked a step in his life, he tells him to rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. And then Peter offers the man his hand. And the man believes. The man puts his faith in Peter's word. This guy who he's never seen before telling him to rise up and walk. He believes and he extends his hand and Peter pulls him up. And verse 7 says this. Listen to verse 7. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Well, for the lame man, this day started out just like every day. He was carried to the temple to beg, but suddenly he found himself walking in the temple, leaping in the temple, praising God in the temple, healed by Jesus Christ. Not by Peter, not by John. Peter just spoke to him. Peter just offered him a hand, but it was the Lord Jesus who healed the lame man. Now, our Old Testament reading this morning from 2 Kings was also about a healing. The healing accomplished by the Lord. This was the healing of Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian. Naaman was a Gentile. Naaman was an enemy of God's people. He was the commander of the army of Syria, an army that had fought against Israel time after time after time again. We're told that Naaman was a great man. He was a mighty man. He was a successful man. He was an important man, but he also had leprosy, an incurable degenerative disease. Now, Naaman took the advice of his wife's servant. His wife's servant was an Israelite girl who had been carried off in a raid. But she advised Naaman to go seek Elisha, the prophet Elisha, believing that Elisha could restore Naaman and heal Naaman. So we're told about Naaman's journey to Israel, meeting with the king, and finally he arrives at the door of Elisha, and he arrives with great pomp and circumstance with all his horses and chariots and money and clothing and servants, and Elisha doesn't even come to the door. Elisha doesn't leave his house. Elisha doesn't go out to meet Naaman. Elisha doesn't even yell out the door at Naaman. Instead, he sends a servant. And he sends a servant with a message. And this is the message. This is verse 10 of our Old Testament passage. The message is, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." And wow, I mean, it seems simple. A simple recipe for a healing, a simple recipe for a cleansing. And what's Naaman's reaction? Is he thankful? Is he grateful? Does he take those words and rush off and follow them to the letter? No. We're told that Naaman's reaction was that he was angry. He was angry. Because of his pride, he was angry. And here he is, commander of the army of Assyria, famous throughout the land. He's wealthy, he's esteemed, he's a friend of the king, and this prophet in Israel doesn't even come out of his house. He only sends a servant, he only sends a message. Naaman was angry. The cure seemed too simple. There was no great task. There was no great cost. Elisha didn't even come out and wave his arms over him for some kind of healing. Did nothing of the such. He just had to wash in the Jordan River. And he said he could have done that in Syria. Why does he have to wash in Israel? So he left in a rage. But his servants came to him, and his servants pleaded with him to obey the word of the Lord through Elisha. They say, "Didn't the prophet give you a great word? Didn't he just say, wash and be clean? That's all you got to do." So he finally relented and he listened. And this is verse 14 of our passage. Listen to it again. So Naaman went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He was clean. He was cured. He was healed. He was saved by the Lord. Not by his own hand, and not by the hand of Elisha. Elisha didn't do anything. He didn't even come out of the house. But he was healed by the Lord. Just like the lame man was healed by the Lord. Not Peter, not John. It was the Lord that healed him. And in the temple, when the man ran into the temple praising God, people saw, hundreds of people saw, and they knew, they recognized, this is the lame man that's been sitting by that gate every single day that I've come here. And now here he is running and jumping and leaping and praising the Lord. What happened? What happened? And in our passage next week, Peter's going to explain to them what happened. Well, John Calvin, 16th century reformer, pastor in Geneva, John Calvin taught that this miracle in our passage today, the healing of the lame man, he taught that this miracle is a type, that it's a figure, that it is a shadow that points to the light. Now, it was a miracle that actually happened. Peter and John did heal the lame man, but Calvin says that this miracle points to another truth, a greater truth, namely our spiritual restoration, our spiritual healing. Calvin says we're like the lame man. He was physically broken. He was incomplete. He was unable to move since birth. And we're spiritually broken, incomplete, unable to move since birth. And that's because of our sin. That's because of our trespasses. That's because of our failure to keep God's law, our failure to love. That's because of our pride and our selfishness and our struggles with being self-focused and self-seeking. Our sin is like a disease in our souls. And we are in need of healing. We are in need of restoration. We are in need of wholeness. We are beggars at the gate. Unable to stand up on our own power, unable to walk, unable to run, we can only beg. But Jesus does not pass us by. Jesus does not pass us by. He does not refuse to engage. Jesus doesn't look away from us. He stops and he looks upon you intently with love. The love that the Son has for you. And he speaks his word to you. Just as the lame man received Peter's word by faith, we also have to receive the word of God by faith. We got to receive the gospel by faith. And that word is the scriptures. And the scriptures are spoken to us through people, just like Peter and just like John. The scriptures are spoken to us by people, whether those people are ministers or teachers or parents or friends, who witness to us the gospel, the good news that God has come to us in Jesus, and that he took upon himself our sins, and that he suffered and died for them, that he received the punishment that we deserve for sin so that we might be forgiven, so that we might be spiritually healed, restored, made whole, a child of the Father. So that if you receive the word of the Lord by faith, the gospel by faith, the Lord pulls you up on your feet so that you can walk and so that you can run, so that you can jump, so that you can praise the Lord and enter the temple and join God's people in praise to the Lord. Because he saved us. He's healed us. He's restored our souls. Have you been healed? Or are you still begging? If you are still begging at the gate, Jesus stops and he speaks. Do you believe his word? Do you believe his promises? Will you take his hand and rise up? And if you have been healed, if you have been saved, if Jesus has pulled you up to walk and to run, are you running? Are you leaping? Are you praising the Lord with your life? Day in and day out. Are you joyful in what the Lord has done for you? I'm going to end with verse 10 of our passage. All the people who saw this lame man and saw what the Lord has done, they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are nothing but beggars sitting at your gate, leaning on your door, but you have not passed us by. You have come to us in person in Jesus. And in Jesus, you've had mercy on us. You've looked upon us in love. You've reached out your hand to us, taking our sin upon yourself and pulling us up. Father, in the name of your Son, we can now enter into your house, leaping and praising your name because you've saved us. Father, make our lives a sacrifice of praise to you, so that all who see us might be in wonder and amazement at you and your grace to us. Father, we pray this day, giving you thanks for our nation, and we thank you that this past week we could celebrate the birth of our country. We thank you for the freedoms that we are blessed with and for the peace that we are blessed with. We especially thank you that we can gather this morning without fear and praise your name. We thank you, Father, for those who serve our land. We pray this day for those in our military who are stationed near and far. We also lift up to you police officers. We pray for those who put their life on the line that we might be free. Father, continue to bless us with peace. We pray for our leaders. We pray for those in power over us. We pray that you would grant wisdom to our president and vice president, Donald Trump and Mike Pence. We pray that you would grant wisdom to our congressional leaders. We pray for Senators Wicker and Hyde Smith and for Representative Michael Guest. We lift them up to you, Father, and ask that they turn to you for discernment. Father, we pray that you would bless those among us who are suffering, who are ill, who are recovering. We pray for those who are facing surgery, for those who are mourning, and for those who are struggling. Father, we pray that you would grant healing, that you would grant hope, that you would grant strength, and that you would grant peace. Father, we pray especially this morning for Daniel Brantley, for Peter Graves, for John Walker. And we lift all these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.